by partnering with the right risk management and insurance partners, project developers in the space have a significantly higher probability of delivering a viable solution to protect their projects and products, and in turn enabling investment capital, which otherwise may be unavailable. Maybe greater collaboration between all stakeholders involved in financing low carbon transition projects from the outset would be quite beneficial.
Welcome to Sustainability Leaders. I'm Michael Torrance, Chief Sustainability Officer at BMO. On this show, we will talk with leading sustainability practitioners from the corporate, investor, academic, and NGO communities to explore how this rapidly evolving field of sustainability is impacting global investment, business practices, and our world.
The views expressed here are those of the participants and not those of Bank of Montreal, its affiliates, or subsidiaries.
Hi, I'm Angela Adusi, Senior Advisor to BMO Climate Institute, and today I'm joined by Natalia Mudrak. She's the Senior Director North America for Aon Climate. Aon is a global professional services firm specializing in risk, insurance, and other solutions. Natalia, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Angela. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today.
So to start, could you tell us a little bit about your role at Aon and the broader role of insurance in supporting climate and sustainability?
Absolutely. Well, you've already introduced me, and maybe I'll just expand a bit on that. In my role, I usually wear two hats. One is helping Aon clients better understand and manage physical climate risk exposure that they may have to natural disasters like floods, fires, hurricanes, etc. And then on the other hand is helping our clients finance transition to low carbon economy and enable new investment and climate-driven growth opportunities to take place using insurance solutions. And I think to the latter point, it's important to note that there are various means that insurance can support transition of hard-to-abate sectors to become greener over time, to unlock capital for renewable energy projects, and really unlock the growth of cleaner, newer technologies. And the role of insurance can be catalytic in low carbon transition, especially if we are considering upfront from the stages of project design, how we can address a range of political, technological, environmental challenges that a project may face, which may otherwise deter investment or increase costs of financing for these projects in absence of insurance. So it's really that catalytic role that it can play that maybe we can talk about today.
That's really great. I love that you bring up the idea of the low carbon transition and hard to abate sectors. So what I'd really like to hear more about is your thoughts around this broader theme of transitioning and decarbonizing the global economy. So from your vantage point, where do you see the insurance and risk management sectors playing a significant or even pivotal role in the net zero transition?
Well, since you said global economy in how you position this question, I think I'll latch on to the word global. And one area where we see a lot of potential is in helping deploy capital to emerging markets to be part of the transition. And if we look back, the world added 50% more renewable capacity in 2023 compared to 2022. And in the next 5 years, we'll see the fastest growth yet. But lack of financing in emerging and developing economies remains to be a key issue. When we were in Dubai for COP28 climate change conference, we saw that there were about 130 national governments who agreed to work together, triple the world's installed renewable energy capacity by 2030. And then we reviewed the report by the International Energy Association that was just released in January. And it's very optimistic. And it's noting that the world added 510 gigawatts of renewable energy in 2023. This is the fastest growth yet in the last two decades. But there's that lack of financing for emerging economies being an issue. And that report reflects on the fact that G20 countries right now account for approximately 90% of the global renewable power capacity today. But to achieve that global goal that you mentioned in your comments, Angela, the rate of new installations needs to accelerate in other countries too, outside of the G20. And IEA reflects that there are several challenges to scaling of finance in emerging economies. Some of it is a higher interest rate environment. There is lack of affordable financing for renewable project developer in most of these emerging markets and developing economies. And sometimes there are unstable political regimes and policy uncertainties that also increase project risk premiums. And in previous publications, the International Energy Agency estimated that if the world is to be on track to meet the net zero target by 2030, annual capital spending on clean energy in these economies needs to expand more than 7 times to be approximately $1 trillion USD annually. So as we think back now, in terms of the mosaic of solutions that could be leveraged to help increase this private sector finance flows in clean energy projects in these economies, I think one of the important pieces of that mosaic of solutions has to be insurance, including political risk insurance. Recently, we worked with an investment fund who was investing into an offshore wind project in East Asia. They were concerned about local government entity not honoring power offtake agreement with the project developer that was seeking their investment. And while this fund has already secured some political risk insurance capacity from an export credit agency, it was not sufficient, and they needed to secure additional insurance capacity rather quickly. So we've placed this almost $500 million over 10 years of political risk insurance for them. But this ability to move swiftly and match investor deal-making pace was possible with private sector insurance market participation. So I think as we look forward at the need to expand clean energy investments in emerging economies 7 times up to $1 trillion US annually, there will be a lot more demand for these type of solutions and public and private sector collaborating to match this risk capital need going forward and really help unlock capital going into emerging economies.
I love this example and I love this type of collaboration. And I agree with you that public and private sector partnerships can be really, really impactful. And it's interesting to hear how that plays out in an emerging market. We've definitely seen similar sentiment around public-private partnerships here at BMO as well. And one example that comes to mind from our end is our collaboration with Canada Infrastructure Bank to offer more options to building owners and property owners who are looking to execute on energy retrofits on their properties. So it's been really cool to watch that collaboration kind of take shape and really see the impact play out on the ground. So it's really encouraging from my end to hear that this type of partnership is happening across many different industries and many different geographical parts of the world. So to switch gears for a moment, you mentioned offshore wind just now. And this is a type of clean energy project that has been around for a while and where there's performance data pretty widely available. I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on the flip side. So newer emerging energy technologies where this may not be the case, where there may not be as much performance data available to leverage. How have you seen insurance products catalyze deployment of capital into emerging technology or into areas that are perhaps seen as risky?
You know, Angela, I think it's a wonderful question. And congratulations, first of all, on your collaboration with Canada Infrastructure Bank. This sounds like a very important initiative to retrofit existing building stock to be more energy efficient going forward. As I reflect on your question, maybe I will answer it in two parts and maybe start with actually the need that we have right now, in addition to financing this emerging technology, prototypical technology, also the importance of focusing efforts on hard to abate sectors and helping them transition to become greener over time. And there's recognition that transition doesn't happen overnight. You can't just turn off the switch and become green overnight. It can be capital intensive, impact employees and well-being of entire communities that may be depending on these hard to abate sectors where they operate today. Now, there are some financiers, insurance carriers that have committed to move away capital from hard-to-abate sectors, which doesn't really entice companies in those sectors to transition assets and operations to become green over time. Now, there is one way where we are working to help these hard-to-abate sectors to transition. And maybe I'll share one example to that end. We've created a Transition Performance Index, TPI in short, which leverages both publicly available data and then AN's proprietary analytics to essentially create evidence of, let's say, maybe an oil and gas client, how they are adjusting operations to become lower carbon over time. And these scores, Transition Performance Index scores, they've been developed with input from insurance and reinsurance carriers, and they allow these carriers to better understand the impact of clients' actions and justify continued access to risk capital over time where there are improvements that are being made, right? So an example of that is we recently helped a client demonstrate that their investment in green technology, which helps capture and store 70% equivalent of their total carbon emissions, was quite catalytic in improving their transition performance score from what it is today to how they're projecting to improve over time. And in turn, it gave insurers confidence to provide long-term capacity to this client. So with this predictability of insurance terms over time, the client then was confident and able to continue deploying capital and investing in other initiatives that help them transition other assets and operation over time. So it's like a virtual cycle that you create with this predictability and insurance rate in terms vis-a-vis TPI. But that's kind of a tangent. I know you asked me about insurance solutions, perhaps for emerging technology. And one example that comes to mind that is getting a lot of attention right now, a lot of interest, both from project developers and financiers alike, is the usage of technology performance guarantees. Technology performance guarantees can help early stage businesses secure debt financing by insuring against a shortfall, let's say, of renewable energy output caused by technology underperformance. So this can help smooth out the volatility in cash flows for a project so that the lender feels safer about debt payments being made on time and on target. And an example of a solution like this that helped a sustainable aviation fuel producer secure debt financing is something that I thought would be interesting to share with your audience. So we had the sustainable aviation fuel producer launching a greenfield project. They've secured customers for the offtake of the fuel, but the technology had this emerging nature and there was a concern there could be a shortage in quantity of the committed fuel output. The producer's balance sheet wasn't sufficient to alleviate lenders' concern that if there was in fact a shortage in the amount of sustainable aviation fuel produced and then sold to the customers, that the producer may not be able to meet their debt obligations. And so we structured the warranty solution that covered debt service and operating expenses and startup repairs should there be shortfall in output as a result of technological failure. And structuring this warranty solution helped the deal go from a no-go to a go decision as a function of this being available. And we are seeing quite a bit of interest in insurance solutions like that to allow commercializations of newer technologies, if you will, to take place.
I love that example, and I'm really not surprised that there's a lot of interest in that product. So to zoom out just for a moment, I'd like to ask you, are there any areas of opportunity where you think insurers and capital providers or financiers could be working more closely together to support clients in the net zero transition?
Oh, well, I think I'll speak to my favorite topic as of late, and maybe it's about voluntary carbon markets. And I know right now voluntary carbon markets are facing a bit of a loss of confidence lately, but they are expanding and can present a significant opportunity, I think, not only to drive climate transition, but to achieve a range of environmental and social impacts around the world. For example, voluntary carbon market projects that support nature restoration projects or conservation, they not only provide carbon sequestration benefit, but they can also help with biodiversity enhancement, provide resiliency to natural disasters. For example, think about effectiveness of mangroves to help attenuate flooding and hurricane risk. And in some parts of the world where the use of proceeds or a portion of revenues from carbon credit sales goes towards local communities, they can be quite impactful with alleviating poverty as well. So I'm quite excited about the evolving nature of voluntary carbon markets and how they can really drive that environmental and social impact on the ground. So there's a lot of interest in that topic. And insurance here as well helps boost confidence in voluntary carbon market transactions. And it also helps unlock additional capital for high quality projects. And I think this happens because through underwriting process, as insurers look at the various risks and provide a second pair of eyes on these risks, on how they are being managed, if you in fact are able to insure some of these risks away, it signals that this project is higher quality. And as such, you may end up catalyzing and accelerating capital going to these projects, perhaps even expanding the universe of investors who may be otherwise hesitant to participate in voluntary carbon market transactions, and in fact, turning their interest and entertaining investments in these underlying projects if they're insured. And lately, we've seen quite a bit of interest in this topic. We have clients who are exploring a range of insurance solutions for voluntary carbon market projects, some focusing on natural disaster risks. For example, if it's a nature-based project like forestry conservation, a wildfire can cause damage and destruction to the very assets that's supposed to be generating sequestration benefits. There could be concerns with environmental risks like pest infestations and disease that can similarly cause damage and destruction to these assets. Political risk is a big concern too, where government may expropriate carbon credit rights. And so you may not realize the revenues you were hoping to because these assets are, for example, expropriated. There could be fraud, negligence, and a range of other risks. So there's quite a bit of interest in how can insurance play a role in catalyzing investment into voluntary carbon markets? And I think it's one area where an entire new ecosystem of players is coming together, from registries to third-party verification and rating companies, MRV companies, project developers, investors, lenders, corporate buyers, insurance companies, all trying to work together to make it a viable market and a viable solution to help drive decarbonization furthermore. I think it's a very exciting space. And I think this is where more collaboration can really drive environmental and societal impact.
Well, it's just fascinating to hear your perspective on this. You know, everything from voluntary carbon markets to physical disaster risk to emerging technology to political risk. It's just really, really cool to hear everything you're working on. So any final thoughts that you would like to share before we wrap up here?
Well, thank you. I think one of the parting thoughts that I would share is actually leveraging something that one of my colleagues from Energy Transition Practice said, that it's extremely important to speak with potential risk management and risk transfer partners at early stages of project development, especially as we're thinking about these new prototypical clean technologies for energy transition. By partnering with the right risk management and insurance partners, project developers in the space have a significantly higher probability of delivering a viable solution to protect their projects and products, and in turn enabling investment capital, which otherwise may be unavailable if a more conventional approach is being adopted. Quite often, insurance is kind of an afterthought, but I think there's need for us to come together at earlier stages and be a bit more proactive in that dialogue. And again, maybe greater collaboration between all stakeholders involved in financing low carbon transition projects from the outset would be quite beneficial. So the question is, how can we collaborate better to optimize the cost of risk, improve project bankability for these newer technology partners? How can we better stitch together capital, whether it's philanthropic grants, government incentives, venture capital available, bank loans, offtake commitments, etc.? And where can we be more creative with insurance solutions, such as some of the examples we discussed today, to really optimize that capital stack? I think that's where maybe a bit more creativity would be helpful and getting engaged at earlier stages of the process, which is not quite typical today.
This has been great, Natalia. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Sustainability Leaders. This podcast is presented by BMO. You can find our show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. Press the follow button if you want to get notified when new episodes are published. We value your input, so please leave a rating, review, and any feedback that you might have, or visit us at BMO.com/sustainability leaders. Our show and resources are produced with support from BMO's marketing team and Puddle Creative. Until next time, thanks for listening and have a great week.
For BMO disclosures, please visit bmocm.com/podcast/disclaimer.